Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, and Indiana victorious last night at home over ranked Iowa. A great game for Indiana, especially offensively, as they got out in front early. Devontae Green, one of those super performances from Devontae, just a few points shy of his career high last night. He shot the ball extremely well, and you just had a good feeling about this when fairly early into the game that Indiana, I don't know if you thought right away they were going to win it, but they were going to be there, and they weren't going to get embarrassed, and it was going to be a game that would come down to the wire, or that they would win at home. And when you talk about back up against the wall, must-win games, that was one last night. If you look ahead at the schedule, could Indiana still have found a path to the tournament? Sure. If they had lost last night, sure, no problem. But would it have been an easy path to the tournament? Not at all. And this win last night is big. And now we'll see if Indiana can carry that momentum into Michigan on Sunday. And again, some tough moments ahead. I'm sure that it's going to come down to the final week or so, if not all the way down to the final game of regular season, or maybe even a Big Ten conference play, Big Ten tournament play, I mean, for this team to see exactly what their fate is going to be with the postseason. But last night was maybe a resurrection in many ways of some good things with this Indiana team, and now it's going to be interesting to see what they carry forward. Lots last night, not just Devontae Green, and I think we all know by now you can't count on Devontae to come back with that game, and you know it was a terrific game. He shot the ball unbelievably. I'm not sure that anyone would. We also know that you may not be able to count on him on even a reasonably consistent game in the positive the next game as well, just based on his track record, just being honest here. But you'll take those games from Devontae when you'll get them, and when he plays it that way, when he has one of those good Devontae nights, there's a great chance Indiana is going to come out victorious in the game, and that's exactly what happened last night for the Hoosiers. Lots of positives, though, outside of Devontae Green and Indiana getting a win with their backs against the wall. Race Thompson, a guy that I don't talk about a whole bunch, he was really good for Indiana last night. And, of course, Trace Jackson Davis is just – he's cool, calm, collected. He's stellar. He's there. He's a double-double machine in many ways. I think he had 17 points and 10 rebounds in the game last night for Indiana as the Hoosiers go on to win over Iowa. And a note, a non-IU note to kind of start the show – Luca Garza is so very good. Big Ten, obviously at the top of the conference and maybe even at the top of college basketball. I've seen him just a few times this season. I've kind of kept an eye on Iowa and him from a distance as we track this wild and crazy Big Ten conference. But, man, he is really something. And obviously not only the leader in that, again, the Iowa team, but probably a Big Ten player of the year, caliber player for sure, if not even – more than that in the world of college basketball. But a big win for Indiana last night. It keeps the hope alive. It renews everyone's excitement heading into Sunday's game at Michigan. And that is a big win for Indiana. Michigan is not having the season in the conference that I think a lot of people, including themselves, thought they might. But they have won a couple games recently, including one of those wins when Michigan State was sliding. They were able to defeat the rival Spartans. I think that game was last Saturday. So interesting game. Every one of them is going to be interesting. We know that. But an interesting finish coming up to this Big Ten season. If you look across the conference as well, I was looking last night at standings and who would play who again in the conference tournament, and seeing some bracketologists out there and what they predict for the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament. If you look across the conference, there are a number of things to watch here in this final few weeks. It's not just Indiana that's trying to make it into the tournament. There are some other interesting races in the conference and teams trying to get into the NCAA tournament as well. As you would expect, the final few weeks of regular season conference play, there will be lots and lots of storylines for this Big Ten Conference as they try to perhaps place a record number of teams in the NCAA tournament this year. So interesting stuff ahead, no question about that. But no matter what you say, last night a really, really good win for Indiana over Iowa last night. And, of course, Devontae Green with Danny Green on All-Star break in the NBA there on the front row. Cheering him on. Maybe Danny needs to try to figure out how to make some more Indiana games, because Devontae sure played good last night with him there. Welcome into the show. We do this each weekday, 11 o'clock, the Hoosier Report, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you missed the live show at 11, you can catch the replay at 3, and we're also available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. So there are a number of reads to catch up with our program each day. Let's jump into today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll run through some Zaxby's headlines for this Friday program. Segment two, coming up later in the show, Jared Morris of Assembly Call will join me for an extended chat on IU basketball. We'll start with last night's win over Iowa. We'll talk some about the personnel and breakdown on this Indiana team. We'll also look ahead to the Michigan game on Sunday as well with Jared when he joins later in the show. And then Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he's always with me Fridays as well. And we'll wrap things up this week with Kyle from the Star when he joins us in segment number three today. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $20 off. It's right now, it's $20 off any bone-in ham. You can also receive a special deal on ham bones right now. It's a buy one, get one free deal, all for a limited time at your Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And obviously starting with the game last night, the Indiana victory, no question about it. Devontae Green, the player of the game, 27 points, 7 for 15 shooting for Green. He was 7 of 11 from the three-point line. He knocked down 6 of 7 free throws as well. Just a really good night all the way around. And probably the best part of the night for Green and for Indiana was the fact that he got out of the gate hot, which Indiana has a history, a reputation, it seems, of slow starts or getting behind early and having ground to make up even right in the first few minutes of the opening half. That was not the case, thanks in part to Green. He had, I think, 5 three-pointers in the first half. 4 of those three-pointers were very early, it seemed, in the first half of play last night. So a good first half, a good game. Devontae Green, just about everything he did last night was great for this Indiana team. And you can't forget Trace Jackson Davis. He is so there. He's so consistent. He's so, as a freshman, someone that you can count on. 17 points and 10 rebounds last night for Trace Jackson Davis. And I mentioned at the top of the show, Race Thompson, 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting. He had a really good game all the way around last night for Indiana. And as we enter this final stretch, could he be kind of a key for this Indiana team moving forward? So some interesting things last night, and for me will be even more interesting to see, as it always is with this Indiana team, what if when they carry this stuff over to the next game at Michigan on Sunday. And no question about it, things last night with Green and with Thompson and of course Trace Jackson Davis, you can see why this Indiana team on occasion is able to beat a ranked team, whether it's at home or not, how they're able to beat a good team. You could see how they could get hot and make a nice run in the tournament if they could get, you know, get their place in there for sure. So going to be interesting to see. I think we all know this Indiana team has lots of good. some bad, some concerns with it very consistently throughout this season. And, of course, the next opportunity to get back out there Sunday at Michigan. We'll talk more about Michigan a little bit later today, but it's a team that's had its struggles of its own, very up at times, very down at times this season, and that seems to be more so the general way that college basketball goes. But Indiana's next opportunity coming up on Sunday at Michigan. A lot of people will tell you that Indiana, who now has a record of 16-8 overall and 6-7 in the Big Ten Conference right now, a lot of people seem to think, people that put brackets together, people that we've had on this show, that Indiana needs to get to 19 victories to have a very legitimate chance to get in the big dance. And so that, if that holds true, and of course you want to exceed that if possible to maybe improve your seed or to definitely get a stamp into the tournament. But if that's the case, Indiana moving forward would need three more victories. And you look at the schedule for Indiana: Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock tip at Michigan. Then it's at Minnesota, so two games coming up on the road for this Indiana team. Back at home, February 23rd on Sunday, but it's Penn State, who there really hasn't been a letdown period for them. They've not been perfect. They've made their mistakes, but very consistently they've had a great year in the Big Ten Conference. That's not one I think you want to count on, although it's at home. And again, at Assembly Hall, things a lot different for this Indiana team. After the Penn State home game, back on the road for two games at Purdue. They seem to be playing better. Later this month, a week and a half or more from now, really 2 weeks from now, will they still be playing better? At Illinois, who's been really good this year in the conference, on March 1st to open up the final week and a half or so of the regular season. And then a favorable side, and I mentioned this yesterday, of Indiana's schedule is March 4th and March 7th. That's Wednesday-Saturday combination. They have home games, and I like who they're paired against as well, Minnesota and Wisconsin. So can Indiana steal a win on the road? Can they upset Penn State at home? Can they come back that final week and win two home games back-to-back? What if it comes down to the fact that Indiana's able to get a win on the road and Indiana's able to get, let's just say, two wins between now and that Wisconsin game at home, that March 7th game on Saturday? Can you imagine if Indiana was playing for perhaps its tournament life on Saturday, March 7th, against Wisconsin at home with, say, 18 wins on the year at that point and needed one more to get into the NCAA tournament? And then, of course, Big Ten tournament begins. We saw Indiana even last year open the tournament, and a lot of people thought if they won their opening round game of the tournament, that would get them in. So it could come down to that situation as well. But seven games left. Indiana needs three victories, we think, to get in. Seven regular season games, that is. And so it'll be definitely some interesting and wild moments to see if it all figures out. Moving on in headlines today, high school basketball tonight. Some decent games across the area. Headlined by New Albany at Providence. That's always a rivalry game. Clarksville at Salem, Jeffersonville at Evansville Wrights, Silver Creek at Scottsburg. I mentioned this yesterday. Silver Creek, six wins, in the Mid-Southern Conference, 6-0, and Scottsburg, 8-0 in conference play. And so effectively tonight, a big Mid-Southern Conference game, and of course, Scottsburg, a good season this year, an improved season. They are filling them their oats and want to try to see if they can handle the Big Dragons at home tonight. I understand the crowd is going to be absolutely fantastic for that game tonight at Scottsburg, but Silver Creek still the big favorite, even though they'll go on the road there tonight. Saturday, Jeffersonville is at Jennings County Christian Academy, who they were victorious last night. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. They host Oldenburg Academy. It's an afternoon game on Saturday. New Washington's at Floyd Central, Crawford County at Henryville. And last night, Christian Academy was victorious over Trinity Lutheran in a big way. In fact, it was really no game at any point. Went by to check out Christian Academy. Had not seen them since the Christian Academy-Floyd Central game, which was like the very first game in this area to open up the 2019-2020 season. Not only did Christian Academy look very good last night, but get ready for this. Bailey Conrad set a new career high last night. He had 18 points in the first 8-minute quarter last night for Christian Academy. He was absolutely on fire hitting three-pointers last night and had a big performance, 34 points in total, and actually it was 20 in the first quarter, not 18, as Christian Academy was victorious 77-56 over Trinity Lutheran from the Seymour area last night. Big performance from him. I've been high on Christian Academy all year long since that Floyd Central victory. And, of course, with Conrad and T.J. Proctor and other players as well, lots of seniors on the roster, they've got a great opportunity in the upcoming state tournament here down the line just a little bit. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Zaxby's, of course, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded chicken tenders, hand-seasoned, hand-breaded chicken tenders, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order with, again, locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Don't forget tonight, in addition to the New Albany at Providence game, 7:30 tip in that contest here on the Big X. If you can't make it out to Providence for the game, we've got the Southern Indiana tip-off show, including interviews with Providence coach Ryan Miller, Christian Academy coach Steve Kerberg, and Brandon Hoffman, the coach at Silver Creek, as we get you ready for the big games and storylines this weekend in high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd County. And it's all made possible by the presenting sponsor, Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. We'll head to a commercial break. Back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We will recap and break down in a big way the IU win over Iowa last night. And then still ahead, we have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with me, as he is each Friday. Jared, the host of the Assembly Call IU postgame show, which last night, after a big Indiana win over Iowa, was heard right here on the Big X at the conclusion of the IU network coverage. You can find out more about Assembly Call, Assembly Call Radio, Assembly Call postgame show at assemblycall.com. Jared, this Indiana team, they've done it again, from bad basketball, from lots of concerns and worries, to a big victory at home over a ranked opponent. Just when you think maybe this Indiana team's in the trouble zone, and I'm not saying it at all that everything's peachy and rosy and good to go this morning, but just when you think this Indiana team may be down, may be out, last night they came back and had a big win in a very big way for this program moving forward, which is only going to make the next couple weeks even more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I that win was really important, obviously. I mean, there are still more games, and there were theoretically chances to get things turned around, but to lose another home game would have really been devastating. And, you know, Indiana, they had that chance against Maryland recently. They blew it. They had another home game against Purdue, didn't come out ready to play. And so it was really important that they get that win last night, snap that four-game losing streak, and have something to feel good about and build some confidence with going into 4 out of 5 on the road, because, you know, this team has not been good on the road. And so facing that, you know, without kind of stopping the skid would have been really daunting. And so, you know, I have to say I was pretty pessimistic heading into the game. I wasn't quite sure what we were going to see. I wasn't quite sure what this group had left, but, you know, they really came together and they played with a lot of energy. They played with a lot of fight. Obviously, when shots go down, it makes everything better, and that picks up your energy. But it really just felt like, you know, from the tip, they had a good energy and a good way about them, and obviously it led to the victory, and, you know, we can all exhale for at least 48 hours.
I don't think we could talk about Indiana's win without coming back real quick to say Devontae Green, 27 points, 7 of 15 shooting, 7 of 11 from three-point range. He hit 6 of 7 free throws. He was absolutely fantastic. And in addition to all that that I just read off from his line score, he got off to a terrific start. I think he had 5 three-pointers in the first half of play. We need Danny, IU fans need Danny Green, his brother, that on NBA All-Star break, so he was able to come to Bloomington and take in the game from a front row seat last night. Need him at more games because he played extremely, extremely well last night. That's the Devontae Green that's almost a dream situation. You just want him to be consistent, and he was outstanding from the tip last night.
I mean, he's such a difference maker for this team. You know, we talked all offseason about how the path for this team fulfilling its potential and being an NCAA tournament team is you're going to have to count on him as a scorer, because that is the one, you know, one of the, you know, kind of glaring weaknesses of this roster was, you know, a guard who can go get buckets, a guard who can make outside shots, a guard, you know, who can pop for 20, 25 points, because sometimes against good teams, you need that. And obviously those games have been few and far between for Devontae, but when he's done it, you know, it just has such a cascading impact, because it's not just his shots going in and the points that he scores. But when he's shooting like that, he's more engaged all over the court. You know, and while I thought, you know, his decisions on some of the alley-oops were a little bit misguided, I thought his passing was better. You know, it felt like he was more locked in offensively, more locked in defensively. And in basketball nowadays, I mean, you know, it's always been this way that, you know, a three-pointer was a big, you know, energy moment. But it really feels like with the importance of the three-point shot, that's even more so. And it can be so deflating when, you know, the threes aren't going in and, you know, you kind of don't have a guy who's having a good scoring night and every possession feels like such a slog. And so when you have a guy like Devontae, it feels like it just unlocks the entire offense when he can make shots like that, you know? And so it's so important for this team to have that from him. And I don't by any means think that, you know, okay, now he did this and now we can count on this moving forward. You know, we've seen enough evidence to know that that's not the case. But, you know, and Archie talked about this in his post-game press conference, you know, he's coming up now on the end of his senior season, you know, and if part of the reason for that last night, you know, wasn't just, you know, kind of the random chance, you know, the roulette wheel of Devontae Green, you know, that just happened to land on big game, which sometimes it feels like, you know, if he brought a different mindset and if that can be something that he can carry forward, this team can still do a lot of damage because that is such a missing piece for them. And they've got a lot of other good pieces around that kind of fall into place when he's playing like that. So there's a really important performance from him. I was happy for him. I was proud of him. And hopefully that's something now that he can carry down the stretch, because he's a massive difference maker for this team.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on this Friday edition of the program. A player that I really have not asked a lot of questions about when we have people like you. We have an IU expert, we call him each day here on the program. A player that I've not thought a lot about, to be quite honest. I mean, he plays. It's not like he's just someone that all of a sudden came into the game last night. But is Race Thompson, and I guess last night's game kind of makes you see what he could be capable of, and lots of important comments, or lots of comments, I should say, that make him seem very important to this team after the game last night. But he had a terrific outing in many ways last night for this Indiana team. And as Indiana enters this final stretch of regular season play, it's clear that he could be someone, and maybe he is now someone, that this Indiana team could sure utilize.
Yeah, you know what I thought about last night, you know, as he was having that game, you know, because Juwan Morgan, OG Anunoby, they were in the building. You think back to 2016 and, you know, their freshman year and the impact that those guys had when they started to get more minutes the second half of the season. You know, OG especially, he was such a difference maker defensively as an energy guy, you know, getting steals, just being a disruptive defender. And he really kind of unlocked what that team could be. Now, obviously, Race isn't a freshman. You know, he's been around a little bit longer. But we just haven't seen him very much because he redshirted and then because of the injuries. But, you know, when you start to think back to some of the best stretches of play that Indiana has had, a lot of times those stretches have come when he and Trace have been out there together and Indiana has gone with a smaller lineup. And, you know, and the reason is because, you know, Trace is just – Race is a really, really disruptive defender. You know, he's a guy, you know, for folks who, you know, who go to KenPom and kind of look at those numbers – You know, he's a guy that has a block percentage around 6.5 and a steal percentage of 3.1. And those numbers may not mean anything to you, but for a player to be that high, and those are both high numbers in both of them, is typically indicative of a really, really good defensive player. You know, like those are the kind of numbers that, OG had. And sure, it's in a small sample size, and, you know, and I get that. Maybe if he plays more minutes, you don't have numbers like that. But, I mean, you can see the impact, you know. And so when he can play 25 minutes and when he can be a guy that, you know, is getting steals and causing disruptions and he's just tough down low, even if he's not maybe as tall as a guy like Luka Garza, you know, he's going to make him earn his points. And then to be able to get out and actually produce some points as well, you know, race was really, really important. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, he played really well in that Michigan State game, got hurt, he goes out. And now Indiana, you know, goes on a four-game losing streak. You know, he's the kind of guy that when you bring him in on the road, you know, can give you some of that energy. And so I think keeping him healthy and continuing to, you know, let him play. I mean, Joey Brunk has been a really important player for this team. But as we go down the stretch here, some of these matchups against Big Ten teams, they're just not good for him. And I think Deron has improved, but he's never going to play more than 10, 12 minutes. So I think leaning more on Race and Trace playing together with the chemistry they have, and just how active and versatile they can be defensively, to me, that starts to unlock more of the potential for what this team can be. And so, you know, we haven't talked about him a lot, but he has really shown flashes when he's been in there of being the kind of defender that, you know, that Archie needs in the pack line. You know, I mean, that's the kind of guy that can really help out in a defense like that. And so we saw it last night, and if it's a sign of things to come, that again, you know, is another thing that can be a real difference maker for this team.
You know, Jared, one of the things with Indiana, not just this season, but for a number of seasons now, has been inconsistency. Indiana will have a really good win or a really good performance from a player or so, and then maybe that disappears, and it looks like a different team, or the player doesn't keep that same status level or level of success or results that you see there for a few games. So I guess, you know, obviously Indiana had to win last night. I think we all feel like it was a must-win game for NCAA tournament hopes, but maybe this can be better judged, and I know you need to celebrate it, Indiana fans do, and appreciate such a big win at home, especially in the manner that Indiana was able to win and the offensive performance they had, but maybe this win will be better judged to see if it can be a momentum builder, to see if it can truly be a turnaround game after a four-game losing streak when Indiana goes to Michigan. And I don't just mean necessarily in the win or loss column, but more so do they carry over some of the things that we saw last night. Is the intensity there as it was last night? How is Race Thompson? How is Devontae Green after both being solid contributors? And, of course, not Devontae, just fantastic. So the Michigan game, very important. Every game the rest of the way, very important. I'm not sure that it is as important as a victory and as a win out there as what the home game against Iowa was. But I guess what I'm saying is I'd like to judge this win again on Monday after we see what this Indiana team brings back out on Sunday on the road at Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. You know, I think this win is going to stand alone simply because, you know, Indiana really needed to get a victory and stop the bleeding. And we know that this team has been able to get big wins at home. And so it's another one of those, you know, it's against a team that's probably going to be a top 25 team at the end of the season in Iowa. Well, I don't know, I say that, it is January, and they do have a tendency to fade in February. So I guess we'll see how well the win holds up. But, you know, it was an important win for a lot of reasons. And so now they go on the road. And look, you know, we would all like for the program to be at a point where, you know, you have 4 out of 5 road games and you're saying, all right, you know, can we find a way to win 2 of them? Or maybe we can get 3 of them. And I think, you know, if we're all being honest with ourselves, we just want to see Indiana get one of these road games. You know, given how poorly they have played on the road against any good team, you know, if they can come out and get one of these, and I think they need to, you know, I think they need to get one of these. Anything beyond that is going to be a bonus. So, and I think the next two are probably the most winnable. You know, when you look at Michigan, and when you look at Minnesota, those are good teams, but, you know, they aren't, you know, so far above Indiana that Indiana can't go there and play well. So, you know, I think especially in this Michigan matchup, what's going to be interesting is, you know, they've really been getting eaten alive by teams down low. And so, you know, Indiana's obviously coming off a game where they shot the ball really well. The outside shots were falling. That's going to need to be a part of the formula again. So I'm not saying don't shoot. You know, these guys have to keep shooting and making them. But they've got to make sure that they really focus on getting the ball inside. And I think it's a game for a freshman, Trace Jackson Davis, where he's going to have some opportunities to really get going. And so I think for Indiana to win that game, you know, he's going to have to be big, and that means the guards are going to have to find him. He's going to have to be ready for the moment. And if he does, I think that's going to keep Indiana in the game. And then it'll just be a case of, you know, can the Hoosiers at least battle Xavier Simpson and Isaiah Livers to a draw? You know, because those two guys are really good. They're really prolific. And that's been an issue for us on the road, is our guards just not giving us enough, guards and wings. And so, you know, we're going to have a couple guys step up. If it's not Devontae again, then we're going to need more from Rob Phinisee. Or maybe this is a game Ryle Durham can step up and make some shots, or Jerome Hunter bounces back. But some combination of those guys is going to have to give Indiana some production, because you know Michigan's going to get some production from theirs.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on a Friday edition and a post-game edition of the Indiana win over Iowa last night. I want to ask you some other questions about this team, but in the middle of all of it, I want to get to this, and this is something that I think we look at win or lose after each game for Indiana, given how tight this could come down the wire for NCAA tournament berth, given what the Big Ten Conference looks like this year. With the win for Indiana, what was that, win number 16, I believe, last night?
Yes.
Where does that put this team in Jared Morris's estimation as far as what they need to accomplish as a baseline to get in the tournament from this point forward?
Well, I will defer my estimation to my my co-host Andy Bottoms and Coach Tonsoni, who are two of the best bracketologists in the business. You know, and in all my conversations with them, they seem to think that if Indiana can get to 19 wins, which would essentially be 9 conference wins, I believe, that you would feel pretty good. You know, it doesn't guarantee it necessarily, but given who their wins are going to be against and what you project the rest of the bubble to be like, you'd feel pretty good about Indiana's, you know, maybe a 9-10 seed, something like that. And obviously anything above that, and it's going to be gravy, and you're talking about improving seeding. You know, now if they don't, and if they kind of limp down the finish and only win a couple of games, you know, it's not out of the question, but you're really going to have to kind of be looking and hoping that some other teams around the bubble implode. So I think that to me is kind of the magic number, is, you know, get 3 more wins this regular season. You know, more than likely you're going to be in. And then, you know, heck, I mean, try and get as many as possible, obviously, and then build a better seed, a better position. But that's the number that I'm kind of circling. You know, if we're looking at the standard as, you know, just let's get back to the NCAA tournament, then I think we got to get 3 more of these down the stretch.
Jared, if there's one thing I like about Indiana's schedule the rest of the way, and I know it's out there that it's, you know, how highly rated it is in the country and in the conference as far as toughness the rest of the way, starting with that Iowa game, moving forward to the end of the regular season, if there's one thing I like, it's that last week. It's March 4th and March 7th, Wednesday and Saturday, Minnesota at home, followed by Wisconsin at home to close out the regular season. I'm not at all saying Indiana wins both of those games. I'm not at all saying that they're cinches for Indiana to win at all. I'm just saying that if for this team, a team that needs, as you say, 3 wins potentially to lock themselves, we think, pretty close in to the NCAA tournament, that would put them needing 1 on the road over this next stretch. Don't feel like they'll be able to get Penn State at home with as well as Penn State's playing. So 1 on the road out of 4 games and maybe 2 at home. It could be another wild finish for this IU team and specifically this IU fan base. Man, I even saw Jeff Goodman tweet about it last night. I can't imagine what it's like to be an Indiana fan, and this season looks like it's going to come down to just another crazy finish as far as does this team get in or does this team not get in?
Yeah, it's interesting. I tend to agree with you that it's nice to be able to have those 2 home games there at the end to finish with. You know, I guess the counterpoint or the devil's advocate there would be, you know, if things kind of go south here playing road games in 4 out of 5 plus a really tough home game against Penn State, you know, you take on a lot of water and maybe you only win 1 of these games or, you know, heaven forbid, you know, you don't win any of these games. You know, you hope that people wouldn't then be checked out by then. You know, there's a certain part of me that almost says, hey, I kind of wish we could load those home games up right now, build on the momentum from last night, just bank some wins, you know, and then just, you know, kind of see what you can do down the stretch. I suppose you could argue it either way. But I would side with you that having those 2 home games at the end of the season, it's nice to kind of have those there. And now you just got to go out and find a way, you know, to get some work done over these next 5 games. And again, I don't like kind of viewing it that way. I would love for the program to be back to a point where we're just going out expecting to win every game. But, you know, with how inconsistent this team has been on the road, you know, I'm not asking for miracles. We're not asking for miracles here to go sweep these games. But, you know, the overall talent level of the teams Indiana is going to be playing, you know, it's relatively even. It's not like these teams are so much better than Indiana. So the Hoosiers just have to find a way to come together, you know, on the road or at home against a team like Penn State and get a win. And that is not too much to ask. And if they bring the kind of effort togetherness that they had last night, they'll do that. As we know, that's just been elusive. And so that's the thing that we're all going to kind of be holding our breath, waiting to see. Because when this team is clicking, they can be really good. And so hopefully we see them clicking a lot more over the next few weeks.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. One other player I had down to ask you about today, Rob Phinisee. There's so much good that comes with him, and other times it's like I'm not watching the same player. I'm curious your thoughts on Rob and this team and how he fits into things and maybe the good and the bad of Robert Phinisee.
You know, I think there's a stark contrast to me between Rob playing offense and Rob playing defense. I thought defensively he was really good last night. He wasn't perfect. You know, he got beat a few times. But Indiana's defense on their perimeter guys was really good. You know, there was especially a stretch in the first half before C.J. Frederick got hurt when Rob was chasing him and going through screens and getting bumped. And he didn't let him get open shots. You know, and so I thought defensively he was really good. And when he is just kind of playing on instinct, I think he's really good. On offense, you know, right now, watching him, to me, the only thing that he does in rhythm and confidently is take catch-and-shoot threes. And you saw him knock down a couple of them. You know, when the ball goes inside out and it's back out to him for a three, you know, I have to go look at the percentages, but I have to think he's shooting about 50% on those opportunities this season. I always think they're going in. The problem is all the other stuff on offense. You know, you saw Archie constantly imploring him to push the ball. You know, push the ball. I mean, he ran out on the court a couple of times, you know, yelling at him to push the ball because they want to play with pace. And sometimes in the half court, he just seems really tentative. And so, you know, I don't know if that's a lingering effect of the practice that he missed and still rounding into form, you know, if he's just uncomfortable in the offense and not quite understanding. And this is a concern for me going forward, is that it feels like a coach and a point guard that just aren't quite on the same page for whatever reason. And I don't know this for sure. I don't think it's necessarily a personality conflict between the two of them. But I just think, you know, Rob is struggling with his confidence and his rhythm, it seems. And so that's why, you know, to me, sometimes when he's in there on offense, it just, you know, it just kind of feels like it's not quite right. And obviously that can be another difference maker. If he gets back to being the guy that we saw, you know, say against Illinois last year or at the beginning of the season, you know, that would be good because that was a guy that seemed to be playing offense more on instinct and not overthinking everything and being tentative. And so, you know, I don't say that totally to be a criticism of him because I think it's also the coach's job to make sure that, you know, your guys are comfortable in the system that they're running and they understand it and that there's some, you know, some flow and some chemistry there. But I think that's something that needs to get better. So, I loved his effort last night. I don't think he's struggling because he's not trying and isn't, you know, going out to do all the right things. But, you know, it's like anything. When you're questioning yourself or you're tentative or you don't, you know, have full confidence, you know, it's going to make it hard to be at your best. And if this Indiana team can get Rob Phinisee at his best, you know, that, again, you know, talk about all these things, you know, Race Thompson, Devontae Green, if all these things can happen, this can be a really good team. And the issue has been, you know, for a lot of games, maybe 2 out of 7 are happening or, you know, 3 out of 7 are happening. And on a night like last night, you got a lot more of them going. And it reminds you of what this team can be capable of. So hopefully Rob is a guy that, you know, can really grow even more as the season goes down the stretch. Because he's, you know, he's got to be the catalyst, you know, from an offensive perspective. We need him.
Jared, final question. Your thoughts on this Michigan team that Indiana will face Sunday on the road in Ann Arbor. They've had their share of struggles this season. They're probably not where they hoped or expected to be at in the Big Ten Conference standings, although they're coming off a couple wins, including a big win over Michigan State. And, of course, at one point, and I think it still does mean something, but obviously Michigan State has had its own slide as well. So kind of hard to read some things, even though we're pretty deep into the conference right now. What do you think of Michigan and the challenge they'll be Sunday?
Well, you know, I think it's difficult to just look at Michigan's results and judge the team that we're going to see Sunday because they've been a team that has really played a lot better when Isaiah Livers has been on the court than when he's not, and he's going to be on the court. you know, he's kind of the linchpin for them offensively because of his outside shooting, and just the added dimension that gives them, and then also his versatility on defense. So he's really a big difference maker for them. And, you know, they beat a lot of good teams early in the season. They have a really good record when he's been playing. You know, they just went on the road to Northwestern and bludgeoned them by 25 points with Liver. So, you know, sports are about timing a lot of times. If Indiana had played Michigan 3 weeks ago, you know, there's a game I would feel really, really confident in. And I did at the time, you know, because they were really struggling. But now that they've got him back, that certainly ups the degree of difficulty. So, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you take advantage of Michigan down low. Guys have gone there and put up massive, massive numbers. And so I think Trace, and to a certain extent, you know, Joey, you know, and Duran as well, are going to have to put up some numbers in there against their post defense. And then the perimeter guys are going to have to battle Simpson and Livers to a draw. And if they can do that, Indiana should have a chance, you know, down toward the end. But if the guards really struggle to get going again, you know, when you're going against a guy like Xavier Simpson, you know, he's going to put you up against the ropes and, you know, not let you get going. So big, big, big game for the guards. They've got to play better if this team is going to win on the road.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call. He joins the Hoosier Report on Fridays, and you can catch the Assembly Call IU postgame show here on the Big X at the conclusion of each IU network broadcast after Don Fisher and crew wrap it up. Jared, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again next week. Big week next week for the Hoosiers as well.
Absolutely. It's always more fun talking after a win.
For sure. For sure. Jared, have a great weekend. We'll talk with you then.
Thanks. You too.
Jared Morris with us, as always, on Fridays. Don't forget, coming up tonight on the Big X, high school basketball. Big one as far as rivalry games go this time of year. New Albany at Providence, 7:30 tip-off. And leading up to that game and pregame coverage from the Larkin Center tonight, we'll have the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. If you didn't catch it last night, it's an hour-long program. It includes interviews with Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, and Ryan Miller of Providence as we preview some of this week's big games in locally here in high school basketball. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with more, and including a chat with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back on this final segment, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us Fridays to help us close the week. We'll talk basketball and more today with Kyle. This segment is brought to you by real estate agent Jessica Bivin with RE/MAX Results and the Scroggin team. Whether you're in the market to sell your current home, purchase your first home, or search for your dream home, Jessica Bivin will guide you through the process. Contact her today at 502-777-9592 to get started. You can also connect with Jessica via Facebook and email at jessbivin@gmail.com. Kyle, welcome in. Great time of year. We've got lots of basketball. Of course, lots of talk about Indiana's big win over Iowa so far today. But high school-wise, good games tonight in our area and kind of a double-dip weekend. You've got girls' regionals, although we don't have any local teams remaining that made it out of the sectional championship round. Some really good storylines and teams across the state that will do battle in regionals. Love the format. Two morning games, two semifinals, championship games at night, and I'm curious where you'll be tomorrow and maybe what you've got your eye on in the girls state tournament as it takes a turn for the final few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I'll actually be out of Decatur Central tomorrow night for the I think I've covered that the last 3 or 4 years. Ben Davis and Lawrence North play in the morning, and then New Powell and Brownsburg, and then the winners of those, and I think probably the favorites would be Lawrence North and Brownsburg to play again out of Decatur Central. So a couple of good storylines there. Two teams that have Brownsburg's been a little bit up and down, but 20-8 this year, and
Lawrence North, of course, really good tradition, 22-4, and have a really good team this year under Chris Giffen, who was a former assistant coach for Jack Kiefer on the boys' side. So he's had some really good seasons there. And then up at Marion, I think tomorrow's the big, you know, kind of the real big one. Fishers and Northwestern play in the morning, and then Homestead and Fort Wayne Carroll. But Fishers and Homestead, two really, really good teams, and of course Northwestern playing up after sort of dominating in 3A the last couple of years. So curious to hear how that one goes. And like you said, Matt, a lot of good games all over the area tomorrow. Fun regionals, always a little bit different than the whole rest of the tournament. So always a fun day on the girls and the boys side when that day comes about.
Yeah, regional Saturday, both girls and boys. It's a fun Saturday with lots of action, and of course that one challenge throughout the season, or at least the tournament, where you've got to come out victorious twice in the same day if you're going to continue on in tournament play. Kyle, the next little note I had for you has nothing to do with anything newsy or going on right now, but I ran across a video, a highlight video from the Seymour Regional. This would have been Romeo Langford's senior year, and Trace Jackson Davis would have been an underclassman. But I ran across the highlight video. It was basically some of the better plays from the game and some commentary in the background. And I've got to tell you, I know we're just a handful of seasons removed from that, but thinking back to Seymour that night or on some of those occasions during the Romeo Langford years and during some really special years of basketball in Southern Indiana, looking at that crowd for a one-game championship in the evening, just amazing. And already, even though it's recent and not historical of anything quite yet, I think back on some of the moments. I know you were there for most, if not all, of those great games and great crowds and big Romeo turnouts. And, of course, that Warren Central game would be another one that stands out in a Sima State, not just how close it was and, of course, how it ended, but the crowd and all the things that went on before the game as far as people lining up at the door. It's amazing to me. I think back on those days, even though they're recent, and some of those great memories as we start to talk about postseason and think about the upcoming sectional tournament and boys and beyond. We were treated there, Kyle, to some really, really special stuff. And I think we, each year in our state, get to experience some really neat stuff and some great players and fan bases that matter and gyms that are special. But already, as close as we are to it still, it's hard not to think back on those days and miss them a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were special times. I always, it was one of those times where you felt like you're missing out on it if you weren't there, you know, if you weren't able to be there. And I tried to be, you know, from afar, try to come as much as I could. And you mentioned the game at Seymour with Warren Central in the semi-state, and you know, that's one I'll always remember. Walking in the gym, had to park far away, you know, even an hour before, or more than an hour, it was like an hour, maybe 2 hours before the first game that day, which was Bar Reeve in Morristown. And just walking in the gym that day, and the place was basically completely filled like an hour before the first game started. So, I mean, that was sort of the ultimate to me. I don't know that I can remember anything quite like that before, where a gym that size is completely packed for a game that, you know, and Morristown and Bar Reeve had great followings as well, but there was a lot of New Albany people there already. There was a lot of, IU fans in the stands, and of course Warren brought a healthy amount of people down there too. And then that week when, you know, people were trying to get tickets up at Warren Central, I remember going over there, and you know, there was people kind of camped out, and they tried to give the they had to make sure they were Warren Township people before they'd sell them the tickets, because they knew, you know, there was people who, you know, from New Albany who couldn't get tickets who were trying to. So it was just a neat, you know, a really neat sort of Indiana-centric week, especially that week. And that's the one I remember the most. And, you know, I know those, even Bar Reeve and Morristown were trying to make sure they, you know, kept the tickets in the hands of their fans and not let them get to others. So that was a really cool thing. And you're right, I think we'll look back at that, you know, years from now. And I know I will for sure. And remember that as a really special and different time, no matter how many, you know, there are so many great moments, but that was definitely a special one in itself.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, joining me here in this segment. Will we ever, I guess this is a hypothetical question, but Kyle, will we ever see something like that again at the Seymour Regional or Sima State, or really in our state as a whole? Will something like that, will that type of phenomenon, crowd interest, will that happen again?
I think it will. I mean, you never say never. I remember covering games at Seymour in the semi-state where it definitely wasn't that way. It felt like a big gym. I mean, in that day, it didn't feel it was big, but it felt filled. You know, and it felt And there's been definitely games where I've been to and where there were a lot of empty seats and that sort of thing. So I think the norm is probably not to have that level of interest, but I'm never completely shocked, you know, when things ramp up and it's March and there's a good story to follow and people get excited about it. And, you know, I'm not saying there's going to be, you know, those type of things maybe only happen once a generation, but there's peaks and valleys and there's definitely, you know, a level of interest. Even going to Washington last year for the semi-state over there, whereas Bloomfield and Barre, even that place was completely filled again. And so I'm never completely shocked. There's always a, you know, once it gets to that Saturday and people are immersed in it, you know, they're going to show up and support their teams. And I think a lot of times there's a general, you know, the general interest ramps up too when there's a player of Romeo's stature or something close to that level.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for coming on today. Thanks for reminiscing a little bit as we get close to the month of March. Always fun, and we'll have you on again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Don't forget New Albany at Providence tonight. We'll have the broadcast live here on the Big X. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.